What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 20 of Behind the Crossfader. I'm DJ Terry Fatso Haymore.
And I'm George Gonzalez, Arizona's DJ Hurricane.
And on this special episode, back with us again is DJ Do and my man, Big Nizzy, Mike Big Nut Lopez.
Big Nizzy. What's going on, guys? How are you, man?
I don't know. Is that cool, Mike?
That's great.
I think I'm the only one that call him that.
You can call me that. That's good. We're good.
Don't make fun of him, man. He brought us some tea.
Yeah, I know, honey. I'm going to show you what Big Nizzy is.
Shout out to the Lilies.
Try this, Terry.
So it's good to have you guys back. You know, I think this episode is kind of more reflecting back on, you know, what, three, four months?
Yeah, about 3-4 months. Yeah, we started like February, so yeah. here we are.
And we get so many great compliments and response from the DJ world. And I appreciate all of you guys. And, of course, to Dave Metz in the Man Cave, this beautiful place here that, like I said, every time I said, I don't ever want to leave here. I get here and I'm stuck. I'm not going anywhere.
You feel like Marky Mark and Boogie Nights when you go to Burt Reynolds. You come back to Dave Metz's place and kind of like, can I come back? He let you
Terry
back in,
always man, with so. the sexual references, man. Hey, I'm telling you.
Somebody's got to make them. what are my top sexual references I made the last?
Oh, man,
shows,
what was
20
it?
Shows.
What was that? Ron Jeremy?
There was one. when Herm. DJ Herm.
And that didn't make the cut, did it?
No, it didn't make the cut, but he said his first turntables were 1200s. And I'm like, what? I mean, that's like, you know, you losing your virginity to Ron Jeremy or something. Like, I mean, he just jumped right in, and him and Herm was like, what?
That was the most awkward silence we ever had on the show.
Good thing that was erased, huh?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, back now.
And we describe Serato, using Serato as like the same thing as Viagra. Like, hey, if it works and it rocked the crowd, it works. Who cares, you know? So, and next show.
Tools of the trade.
Yeah, next show I'll think of like about three other sexual analogies
sure
to
will.
DJing
I'm
there.
Sure
so
will.
Working with your hands 12 inches. You
welcome
know.
Back, Do, Mike Lopez. It's good to have you guys back on here again. I know that we talked about doing a second episode with each of you. We might as well let it all hang out right here.
Yeah.
Are you going back to the sexual references again?
Maybe.
He's
I'll
so
keep
nasty.
That's Terry's department.
I'll write some out and have some ready for y'all there. So
they did the whole hangout thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
By the way, we are all in the nude right now.
Yeah.
Fucking naked.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we do not do this as a video podcast.
Yeah. So me and George was
FCC would be all over us.
We're talking about this show and just looking back. We never thought it would be what it is today. One of the biggest surprises is how much we learned about our fellow DJs, how much we admire them, how it improved us as DJs. You know, and I always mention on previous shows how it's always how we watch other DJs, how they mix or whatever, and we practice that way. And this is like a whole other level of inspiration just simply by listening to other DJs talk.
And, you know, it's also, I think it's funny that since we started the show, we've all talked to each other more than we have in the last five or six years.
Yeah.
I mean, we always communicated. We always say, hey, what's going on? Or, you know, a little message here and there. But, you know, I find that I talk with more of these DJs on a daily basis than I ever really did. It's kind of brought us all together, along with, you know, with DJ Aspen that gave us the cuts for cancer.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should start, you know, talking about that. You know, Big Nut, how was your experience there at Cuts for Cancer? What did you get out of it?
Oh, it was pretty awesome. Just being able to spin for repairs and letting people hear you that haven't had a chance to hear you because we're all working the same nights was pretty amazing. And being able to hear everybody else and watch everybody else and kind of get questions from people that are watching your style, even though it's different from everybody else.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to me. So, you know, all the youngsters coming up saying, hey, what, you're not using the computer? Nope, I use mine for Facebook.
Right.
I spin my CDs.
Right.
But yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, just doing tricks with the old school mixer and stuff, you know, just making the effects happen without any buttons and stuff. And
yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
Whoa, what'd you do right there? It's kind of neat.
Most of the new DJs don't understand. You can play the same song and make that phase that filter kind of sound, you know what
offset
I mean?
Offset the timing.
Oh, yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't realize that.
Yeah. What about you?
Was I there?
How was your...
No, you weren't there.
yeah, you were there.
I heard
about,
it was awesome. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is
and
that
then your evil twin came out after that.
I had lent some gear out for this thing, so I got there kind of early. And because I got there early, and I was last to go on, so
man,
it was just a wonderful time.
Yeah, we did that on purpose. Man.
You did that on purpose. Sure did. You're like, let's get to do tonight. Yeah. So
just make them watch.
Yeah. And I'm a sucker for you guys every time. So I give in.
Yeah.
So, but I had a blast, and I thought it was a great cause, and you know, I think that we should do this kind of regularly, and I think the turnout will be more and more when you have. Essentially, you know, the 520's biggest talents all in one place. And us just having fun. There was nothing serious about it. Everyone was relaxed and having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think me and you went at it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we
said.
From what
you told me.
From what you told me. All I hear on the microphone is, Hurricane to the DJ booth. Hurricane to the DJ booth. I'm like, what? It's like, you spin on that one, and I'll spin on this one, and we'll see how it goes. It's like, fine, okay, let's go.
I was like, I'm too drunk to do this by myself. I'm happy that the Huck got to host it, and the good people that worked there, and you know, as well as O'Malley's, that whole crew down there. They were just awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think the final total was right around $1,000 raised for that particular. I want to say it was lymphoma. I'm not,
leukemia,
you know, Aspen had all the details, but you know, more than anything, you know, what my friends got out of it was that, you know, for the Tucson club scene crowd, they really missed out. You know, the truth is, we were all there for a good cause, and we, you know, all of us being friends and being really close, it was very relaxed and very much fun. Yeah. But I mean, if you have a favorite DJ in town, he was there.
If you didn't have a favorite DJ, or you wanted to check somebody out, you wanted to, you know, hire at your spot for a party, a private gig,
it was a great opportunity
for
that. And I think it would have been a good opportunity for the people that weren't there, and maybe next time they'll be there, to actually get the chance to talk to us and have a beer with us. Laugh with us and see us outside of the DJ.
Exactly.
Right. See us behind the crossfader.
Message.
In front of the crossfader.
Exactly. In front of the crossfader. Yeah, right. Because I think that even, you know, when people hire us DJs, they already have these preconceived notions about us. But just talking to us, I think we'll just get rid of half the negativity they probably already have about us.
And
you
to
know?
Me, a good personality and spinning is just as important as how good your transforming.
That's one of the biggest things I learned about doing this show, the character factor. So, cool.
Great event.
Yeah, it was a great event. Thanks to everybody who showed their support. And
thank
you know,
Aspen.
Aspen. And there is going to be another one coming up, and hopefully, you know, we can spread the word. You know, I mean, we should have had news there. We should have had.
Yeah, we definitely should have been a little more pumped up, but we'll hit it the next time.
We'll hit
for sure.
Next time.
Yeah, hopefully
A-list.
We'll get
we gotta give a shout out to
A-List. A-List, 520.
Their
pictures turned out
great.
And they were there from the beginning to the end, you know, and it was great to see their support. I think the next one should be sponsored by Tia Lilly's.
We can make that
sweet
happen.
Tea. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
we can make that happen.
All I need is $1,000 from you, and
I'll
I just hope that the A-List next time when you take a picture of me, just please get my left profile and not my right profile. My nose just seemed to protrude a little bit more.
I'm going to bring a glamour shot. I'm going to bring like
makeup artist.
Who remembers glamour shots?
The Vaseline on the lens and kind of the feather boa and all that there. So. Boy, and it's funny because, you know, a dude be having an ugly ass woman, and then she goes there and it's like, baby, this ain't you. And it's supposed to add fire to it. You know what's funny is that there's a lot of people that's listening to this that actually had women that did that, and I'm going to get my ass kicked. So I apologize
to Terry Haymore.
The ladies have it going on.
I do realize that every time we do a show or you do a show, you do have to put that in your
I
show.
Do, yeah. Your that's my disclaimer now. Yeah, definitely.
Terry's ass. Yeah, burn the cross in front of Terry's yard and leave me alone. He's like, George is cool. And I was like, George is all right. Leave that boy alone. Let's go get that Terry.
Hey, I got to tell you something that was really funny that I just remembered at the show Sunday, the Cuts for Cancer, when there was a grounding problem with one of the turntables when they first started hooking them up. And then all the new guys were like, what's that? What's that? I'm like,
what's that sound?
You don't even know. really, you don't even know if there was a bad ground back in the day. You just had to deal with it.
Oh, they never, they don't deal with ground cables.
You don't have to worry about that now. So
we had to deal with them where they got kind of afraid a little bit on the end.
And it was funny because I was sitting by the bar listening, and all the guys were like, "What is that buzz? What's that hum?" I'm like, "Dude, that's the ground. Trust me.
That's just the ground. Don't worry. Don't worry.
That sound is unmistakable. Because there've been times where in the middle of a set, you know, that the screw will come loose, and then one of your turntables will lose the ground, and you know automatically you go right to the back of that mixer.
Now, have any of you ever had the one that were broken off, the frayed ones, and you kind of keep stretching that wire, and you keep counting down the timeline to how long you can, you know, trim it down, splicing the wire?
Yeah, I had a pair of turntables where the ground cable was probably this long.
Yeah.
Oh, you turntable, that's your craziest.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny.
I retired my turntables not too long ago.
Oh.
You returned to turntables?
I retired them.
Retired them.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. I'm just too damn old to carry those things around, man. To be quite frankly, they get heavy.
Man.
It ain't going into the gig. It's coming out of the gig. I don't like to deal with them, man.
Yeah.
And I don't like coming out, man. And then I just love my CDJs now. I'm sorry. You guys, you don't know anything, but I don't care. I love my CDJs.
No, actually, that setup that all white setup is sweetness, man. It really is. It really
is. Is it really good? That all white setup?
They're not just CDJs, okay?
What?
They're not just your average CDJs.
The functionality is still the same.
They're just looking a little different. If you're just gonna press, you know, stop and start, then but it's not, you know, that's
an awesome setup.
There's a computer inside those things now, man. I mean,
the sound cards inside them. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Those things rock.
Man. You know, it's great stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've never been all, you know, high and mighty when it comes to equipment. Anyway, you know, I just like the bottom line with everything. So. I'm like, you know, the least discriminate when it comes to whatever you're using. If it rocks, it rocks. So,
On my riders, I have riders now. And when I go out, I do put 1200s as my secondary if they have them available. You know, sometimes you go some places, they don't have CDJs. They don't have, I'll only work on the 900s or the 2000s. I won't work on anything else but those. For the fact is, I don't carry control disc around, and I just like the fact that they're natively in the Serato or whatever.
Yeah. Right,
you know, but I always have control vinyl on me. So if they don't have CDJs there and they have 1200s, like I just spun in Scottsdale, you know, last month or whatever, and they only had turntables there. So I did use turntables. So it's not like I just give a turntables. I just, when I bring my own gear out, I refuse to haul them out with me.
No, we know you've played that vinyl for a long time.
Yeah, you deserve it there. That's just like making you work after retirement. You know, it's like, come on, you already paid your dues. Exactly. You don't have to do anything.
I'm short,
That's Mike Lopez saying, you know, I met him about 15 years ago, and for 10 years, he's been trying to retire.
Yep.
10 years straight. Oh, I can't do this no more. 2 months later, I got three spots. I got three nights now. Oh, come on.
It's almost like you cannot make that conscious decision yourself. You'll just get pulled into it or not. And I think there was a post on Facebook with DJ Shorty. She mentioned something about how long do you think you can go? I'm getting too old. And it's almost like it's just something you just don't think about. I mean,
she can't be that old. What is she, like 22?
I know, huh? It's like old grizzly vet.
I just met her for the first time this week. Or no, a couple weeks ago. And
it was Sunday, but you don't remember.
No. It was actually before Sunday. It was here at the Man Cave. It was here at the Man Cave. In the afternoon, I came in. And I met somebody, and I'll tell you, she is just one heck of a sweetheart, man.
She is just like,
definitely, sweet as can be.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I wish I can go to Costco and buy a six pack of her. She's just so adorable.
That's a good question to ask you guys. Is there an expiration date?
Oh, you know my answer.
Yeah, 10 years ago for me.
10 years ago, right?
No, I don't think there is. I think it's all in your heart and your soul and your mind.
Yeah.
When you let yourself go. Like, look at Carl Cox just turned 50.
Right.
He ain't stopping nowhere near. So.
Yeah.
Well, my wife is sitting next to me, and I'm sure she wishes there was an expiration date. She's waiting for it to expire. So.
I'm tired of this.
I think too many people, when they think about the longevity when it comes to DJing, they focus too much on... you know, maybe skills-wise, keeping up with the scene, being able to still do parties. But what they should focus on is introspectively themselves. Are they still happy doing it? I'm satisfied with from doing stuff on the radio to like once every 2 months, doing hour sets at certain places. I'm satisfied with that. I think it's just a matter of finding what you're happy with and just focus in on that rather than, you know, the grind of it or, you know, the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, what about you, dude? What's your opinion on the expiration
You know, it's
date?
So funny. This year was going to be my last year doing it. I said that to myself. Mm-hmm. I said it in April, and I said, I'm going to go off, and I'm going to go to Wisconsin and do this gig out in Wisconsin. After Wisconsin, I'm going to take a look at my career to see where it was going to go and what I was going to do with it, you know?
Yes.
And maybe I'll go back in aviation somehow. You know, I was in the Air Force for a little while, or I just need to do something else. It's been crazy at home trying to find gigs, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm not as respected in the city of Tucson as I am elsewhere in the country, and so just getting local gigs is just tough. And I said, this is it. You know, I think I'm done. You know, I was getting ready to sell my gear and go yeah. work at Target in the garden section and figure out how I could sell pot plants out of there. You know what I mean? So,
and then some little kids show up and it's like, DJ Dude, wow, you're my hero.
Nobody recognizes me, trust me.
Beat it, kid. I don't do this anymore.
I'm the furthest looking guy from
quit?
A DJ.
I looked up to you. When I was sick in the hospital with cancer, I heard some of your mixes and you got me through. Get away from me, kid. You're not a DJ anymore, dude. You're a loser. And they walk away, then a little single tear go down DJ Zeus' cheek. And then he gets back into DJ game. And I know I write the whole script.
Now, the only people that will be upset.
Yeah, that was a scene from a movie.
That
right
was
there,
a scene
man.
From
yeah,
a movie, I think. Job, I like that yeah. movie. And DJ Do, the history.
Yeah.
Behind the music.
Who would play you in the movie?
Who would play me in the yeah, music? Yeah. The same guy that plays Frodo and Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
what about you? What about you, Big Nut? Who would play you in the movie, man? Come on. Huh? Come on. That's a good question. Who would play you in the movie?
Man. Nobody could play me.
Oh, man.
You can't star as yourself, man.
Paul Reubens.
Now, I'll tell you what. The only people that are going to be upset when I retire is going to be the people that distribute beer and alcohol.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, man.
That's about it. So ask Budweiser when I should retire.
Yeah, there'll be three less bottles in the club every week, huh?
Yeah, they just won't be selling as much. Or giving it away, I should say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you feel, George, about still going at it, man? And, you
oh,
know,
man, I think, you know, the music bug has been in me since I can remember. You know, I grew up in band, and I grew up playing music and making music and writing music, and you know, being able to express myself in any way musically is never gonna stop.
Yeah.
You know, whether I stop DJing or and I start writing again or composing, yeah. it really doesn't matter for me. You know, yeah. music is
well, you're an all around musician too.
Yeah,
You play trumpet. Yeah, and you play. You know, I
yeah.
play guitar.
Right, right.
Let me tell you something. If I could make the same living playing guitar out there, I would do that instead of DJing.
I agree.
Yeah.
And
same
I,
here.
I,
yeah.
To me, there's a yeah. way more satisfaction in playing live yeah. music than there is
yeah.
DJing. No doubt
well,
about it.
Well, I mean,
to
you
me.
Know, yeah. I mean, the, you know, the just the performance side. You know.
Right.
Being on stage
think,
and you know
and
eyes
yeah.
on
feel
you, there's
it,
that's
yeah.
there's just nothing like
yeah.
it, you know.
I, yeah.
Especially
feeling
after,
in the world,
especially after you just yeah. killed it, you know. What
right.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
I try not to show a lot of emotion, but as soon as I get home from a good night, I'm jumping in my
oh,
living
yeah.
room like yes, you know what
I
mean.
I've seen
so,
that a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. 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 So I don't know, man. Until my body can't take it anymore, until my hands can't do it anymore, you know, I'll be at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, I think that when we look at things in the bigger picture, it may seem daunting and scary about what we'll be doing 10 years from now, 5 years from now. And I would just tell people just day to day, just figure out a reason to love it and do it day to day. And don't think about, you know, it can scare you away. It can discourage you. So I'm like, screw it. Each day I'll do something. I used to give crates of records to new DJs coming up. I'll teach people. I'll teach anybody. People want to come in and just, you know, practice. As a matter of fact, me and Mike, MGM, we're going to start doing practice sessions at my place. And just, and you know, so I guess just with me, it's just evolving. Just doing this show as a example.
Yeah, definitely.
Evolving
yeah.
with, you know, this is just as satisfying as rocking parties. When we have a good show, people listen to it, feel, you know, the same feeling. So
you guys have listened to more than just the shows that you guys were on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just fucking with you.
No.
Definitely.
I'm just kidding. Did anyone DJ ever surprise you, like, just from what they said, or somebody you may not have known too well, and you know, anything memorable come to mind?
Well, I think the best thing about the show is that you're getting into people's personalities, and you're really actually getting to know the person, which is kind of cool. And we all have our perception of who we think they are until they speak and
mm-hmm.
you get to hear them.
Right,
and that's
yep,
the
right.
best thing about
right.
the show.
Yep, exactly.
And that is actually the best thing about that Sunday that we did, because we got to meet, I mean, I got to meet a lot of the guys that have heard of me but don't know who I am.
Right.
And then same with me. I've heard of them but don't know who
and
they
you,
are.
You know what, Mike, real quickly, this is so true because we always talk about people, you know, they look at us older DJs and they make judgment. You know, people, let's be real with it. There's nobody more judgmental than us DJs when we check out other DJs. We size up other DJs more than anybody. We check them out like, oh, who's this guy? Oh, DJ Fatso. What? He ain't fat, little bastard, already lying. And this show just kind of just smashes all that. But, you know, everybody already had the good attitude anyway. You know, it's sort of like tapering off, but it just, you know, open it up to where we can really see who we really are as people and, you know, our character and personality.
I think this show solely bonded us, to be quite frank with you. And yeah, I think that, yeah, especially in this community, I think that, you know, and I know you've had a couple of DJs from up Scottsdale area, mm-hmm, and stuff like Monk and all those guys. And yeah, I really do. I think it bonds the community together, where I think there was a little animosity between certain people. You know, people are like, why is he DJing? Why is he resident in that spot? And I'm, yeah, not, and I practice, you know. And I think everyone just kind of watched that now. Now everyone's, I, yeah, feel like we're all tighter now. And I felt,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, and I really noticed it in person. What was that Cuts for Cancer event? And I think when we went in there and we were like, God, we are a big family.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
I had one of the, yeah, best times of the year that night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Great time.
Yeah, because I know that a few months ago we had talked about, you know, doing like a barbecue, something,
right,
at the park, you know, where, you know, where we could all get together and do just that. You know, it thankfully it was for a good cause, but it was really one of the best times, I think, as a DJ. Yeah, and that was the whole reason why I put myself on early. I'm like, I want to get this over with because I want to watch everybody else. You know, I just want to see everybody else go off, and everyone surprised me. Everyone surprised me with, yeah, great sets, with great music. And I mean, it was just a really good time.
It was really cool because 520 picked the picture when I first started because I was one of the first ones on.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody from young to old just sitting back in the back watching, just looking, staring at me was, I felt it. But when I saw the picture, I really felt it. And that was really cool. And then I got a lot of questions and a lot of comments from people saying, you know, hey, I didn't know you had that in you, that kind,
yeah,
of music.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, hey, you played that song. It's my favorite track. So,
right, right.
And it was really kind of cool because none of those guys have ever really heard me spin. And,
yeah, well, you know, yeah, it's also like one thing Deuce said, you know, a lot of people considered him just a country DJ, didn't realize, you know,
you
the chops that,
yeah,
he really has, you know what I mean?
Do let you have it.
And
it's like I said on the last episode of the show, you know, I didn't start off as a country DJ. I'm still a Puerto Rican Jewish kid from New York City,
right,
and, you know, and grew up on the Beastie Boys and Run DMC, and
that's awesome,
you know,
yeah,
and that's where I came, yeah, from. I was playing clubs, mm, like my first,
yeah,
club gigs. I was playing freestyle,
yeah,
music like Coro and,
yeah,
TKA,
yeah. Yeah,
and then,
sure,
yeah, with Dude,
yeah,
being one of our first guests, that's probably the one thing that I learned from him was just being 100% comfortable with who you are in your own DJ skin, with what you do. This is what I do. This is me. I use my CDJ. So what? This is me, and I'm all right. And I'm gonna go ahead and, you know, go full steam ahead with it. And I love that, man. I really appreciate
thank you,
that.
I appreciate it. And it's panning out for me. You know, I didn't give in to a lot of people's. You know, some people might say I'm a jerk about it, but I didn't give in to a lot of people telling me what I should be doing. And I essentially said, I'm going to go, and it really happened this year. And I think, you know, with the support of my wife and my friends and my mom, mm-hmm, and my dad and everyone that surrounded me, they said, you know what? You've been doing this a long time. You know what's right. You know what's good. You go do your thing, and,
yeah,
things will happen. And I said, I'm going to do my thing for 6 months. I'm just going to,
mm-hmm,
go out. Some people are going to love it.
Yeah.
Some people are not, especially in Tucson, because Tucson is a town that is very into more the R&B, hip-hop kind of,
yeah,
housing, you know. And then in the country realms, they expect more traditional kind of a country set where, you know, they kind of just play songs out. And they, you know, and I said, well, I got this vision of something I want to do, and I'm going to go try it. I'm not going to get away with it in Tucson, but I'm going to go out on the road, and I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And it ended up creating miracles for me.
Yeah.
And I stuck by it. And now,
yeah,
I'm so happy that I stayed true to what I believe,
yeah,
in.
That's,
you know,
a good, yeah, that'll be a good suggestion to give anybody, is like kind of span out, step outside of Tucson.
Because outside of the box.
Yeah,
too,
I think our ears are adjusted a certain way here. And then, you know, you go other places and turn it on the new ears, how they hear you, and, you know, if they, how receptive they are, you know. So
I think a lot of that comes with age, too. You know, us being, you know, of the, I call it the senior black belt DJs, you know, that have been around the block a little bit. You know, we are black belt DJs, you know.
Yeah, I like to think of myself as the Mr. Miyagi, like an old-ass grimy DJ that can kick the ass of a little young buck.
Can I give you a couple straws so you can catch some of these gnats that are flying around here? But yeah, they. I feel that that's the best advice to give the younger guys, because I think that you need to be yourself. You need to be an individual. And, your peers may not like it. And I think you guys, being older, you know that too. And I think that you guys say, you know what? I've been around the block. I've seen this. I've seen that. I've been in this situation, this situation. And you do what you think is right. And it's worked for you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's worked for me, and it's worked for you guys. And, which is exciting, you know. And it's the younger guys, I think, they'll follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just recently, you know, with me playing my old school funk and disco, a lot of my friends was like, Terry, you just rock that. That's you. And what's funny is, like, even if I can play, you know, maybe the hip hop at 75% efficiency and other stuff at 80%, they tell me to just do that 100% thing that you're just really good at, and it just feels good. It feels damn good. It's like second nature, right, to where I just throw my songs. I don't really set a playlist. I just throw it in there and just go at it. And, you know, so it's great there.
I never do playlists, man, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I probably should, to be quite frank with you.
You know, the truth is, the truth is, over the years, I think I've become a little more prepared.
Right.
As far as, you know, grouping songs together, not making specific, you know, playlists. I'm going to play this after this. But, you know, sometimes you get there and you forget about songs. You know, you get there and, like, mm-hmm. you get into this groove, and all of a sudden you go, oh man, I could have played that, you know. And at least now, having Serato and having his crates, you can, as you think of them, you can just drop them into a crate and then go back to that later. And I think being a little better prepared for that has helped me a lot.
Yeah, how's your preparation? Yeah,
but what about you, Mike, in the old Serato game over there, man?
Serato game's freaking me out, but I'm coming along with it. I just get my case, and, you know, I hold that case and drop us off in the middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
We can make it home with that case.
There you go.
I mean, there's a different feeling from knowing that, you know, that song number 3 on this disc, you know, as opposed to thinking about what the song track name is, or, you know, having to type it in. And, you know, that can be a little bit of a transition from, you know, from going to digital DJing. But
if you're comfortable with not going digital, then why do it? Blaze's still doing it, and he's
shout
doing
out
it
to DJ Blaze.
DJ Blaze,
by the way,
I hope
to get you on the show here soon, Blaze. So yeah, definitely. You know, what is it? You know, he's still walking around 50,000 CDs.
CDs,
you
know? I got my one box that I carry.
CDJ 400s, a little 400 mixer. Right. You know, doesn't even have XLR outs. You know, just and he's still rocking the house, man.
Yeah, it sounds great because I can hear him from my office over there when he's playing at that rocking party of golf and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That is no joke. That Wednesday night party for the kids, he's been rocking that thing forever. And
that's awesome.
He makes a lot of big music fans out there.
Kids are really a challenge to play for.
He rocks it out too.
It's like their ears are so fresh. They're not told what's hot and what isn't.
And they're not afraid to tell you that what's not hot.
I think I think the toughest party I ever done was for a junior high. I did like a charity. I just played for free for a junior high dance. And, man, it was tough as hell, man. Those little bastards are on me, like, just. One girl even called me R. Kelly. She said, get away, hell with you, R. Kelly. I'm like, I ain't did not. I said, little heifer, I ain't even peed on you. You call me. But they're tough. Those little bastards are tough on you, man.
Watch yourself.
And even now, you know,
you
I remember.
You called her little heifer, too.
I know. They're going to come
after
me. You
know he was mad.
They're going to slash my tires.
You should have been like, but, you know what R. Kelly went to jail for.
Yeah, exactly. Let me, you know.
That's with those junior high schoolers.
Yeah, be it with Sandusky, Terry, DJ Sandusky, Mixmaster Sandusky. But even with the new music coming out and being on the cusp of things, I remember even sitting with my daughter and asking her opinion on songs. Just it's just a trip how their ears are trained and how they're really up on stuff. You know
they always say that the last generation does not like the new generation's music. You know, no matter whether it went from blues to rock and roll, or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's always your mom would never liked your music, right, no matter what. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I remember even Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory, being criticized by my uncle. And that album just as pure or just beautiful as we can.
Pure awesome.
One of the best hip-hop albums ever.
Speaking of family, you just recently had a little reunion with your family, yeah, right? Did you guys get a chance to check out their live stream?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they had a live stream show.
That thing was great,
which is actually
going
to give me an idea for us to do at least one. And I had a brother from Vegas came down. He's the one that inspired me to spin. And his friend, DJ Chill. What up, DJ Myron? My two younger brothers, they came in playing. And
yeah, it
for
was
like,
a whole family.
It was a
three-day right
party.
Cool.
It was a three-day party, and us online just DJing and spinning.
Yeah, you guys are part Mexican.
Oh, wow.
Alcohol. Blacksican, man. I'm Blacksican.
Blacksican.
I already claimed my Blacksican, even though I couldn't speak with my gardener the other day. But, yeah, and it was live, man. It was really fun. Got a chance to play with them. Now, this is what's really tripped. This was like probably the best DJ experience I had, was that my daughter, you know, I was spinning heavily when my daughter was like really small, and I think up until when she got about three years of age, it kind of slowed down a little bit. My DJing, she saw me like, you know, listen to music but not really play. I got divorced, I think probably separated around in 07 and 08, so she wasn't around me much. And this few weekends ago was the first time she actually saw me. I think it was just last weekend, and it was the first time she really saw me DJ and play. I was explaining to her the cue points, what I was looping with beats, the kill switches, everything. And it was like really just amazing. My daughter, for the awesome. First time, and she was really impressed, and even made a playlist right here. I even got in my wallet. She wanted a playlist of me to do a mix on and everything. And that was probably the best experience I had, for her to actually see Daddy play for the first time. Now
that is really cool.
Now I'm cool all of a sudden, so I'll go ahead and find the playlist if you want to keep talking.
You got your cool points. Yeah,
your kids ever watch you play, Mike?
Yeah, my son's been my son goes in the studio on Sundays at the office all the time. Like for the first time though, this past Sunday, he said, "Dad, I want you to start teaching me." And because everything was set up, and that I was like, yes, it's on. Because you know, you don't want to force a kid to do something. And
I mean, you want to open them up to as
Let
much as possible.
Everything.
But yeah, you know.
So well, yeah, like he's tried to play the sax and the drums and clarinet and you know everything else that we do. But my daughter, same thing. She grew up in the club with me. Her mom would get off work, and I would have her, so her mom would have to come pick her up from the club. And then this was in San Diego, and she'd be, I have pictures of her sitting on my crates in the back, just waiting for mom to come pick her up. But she grew up listening to me play, so now she's a big music head.
God, see, if I had my little girl at the club, I would have do a trick, like put her on the decks, and I get like, I'm actually mixing and have her act like she's really mixing, like, mess with people's heads and everything.
No, that's cool, though, because your kids, you know, kids mean everything to you. And they start, you know, George, yours are around the corner.
Those guys are great.
Yeah, there is a certain coolness to DJ still. You know, and when they see Daddy doing it, they're like, wow.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the Sunday barbecue at La Cocina, because that's really the only chance my kids get to see me play. So, you know,
to see all your peers, like we all come around and they get to see all that hugging and saying hello to everybody, you know, and that's a big deal to see.
Yeah, my daughter asks, is that another deal? I'm like, that's right, that's another deal right there. Yeah.
How was the first day of school there? So
first day of school was great.
You give her my message there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you know, it's so funny because right now, you know, when you're young, you're still excited about school. You know, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in 10 years, but at least right now, that excitement is, you know, I mean, first day of first grade was, you know, you can't. On the weekend, you cannot get her up before 9 o'clock, but she was up at 6 o'clock this morning.
Ready to go.
Dress.
It's something with the kids this generation where they're excited for school. I remember just crying like a biatch. I did not want to go. I was like just crying. I didn't want to leave my mom. Now kids are like, bye, mom, dad, see ya. And they just jet off and you're like in a heap of tears while they're running off.
That's crazy. So I'm the only one here that doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
Besides me being married to one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another story, but... by the time my kids, it's unfortunate because my kids will never understand what I did. You know,
you don't know that.
Yeah, they will.
Oh, I
mean,
I know.
Yeah. We got lots of proof.
All right, so
I'll be wearing diapers
aspects,
in 10 years. All right,
there are some aspects to this thing that we don't want to reveal all the way.
But she's gonna be changing both of our diapers.
We got DJ Dude's wife here. She's with us right now.
Kristen's here in the house.
What's up, Kristen? And you know what? You're going to get your revenge. You know what? As a matter of fact, we'll just, me and George,
you know
what?
She's just
going to
let you sit in a dirty diaper.
We're
going to
get like the mics here.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? You talk all that smack. I'm going to sit in that.
Yeah, we're going to get the full story there. We're going to get the microphones and going to be like a police interrogation. Like, tell us everything you need to know
about.
Yeah,
right, because your nuptials were just recent, right?
In May.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Congratulations there.
You haven't even had a honeymoon yet. It's been
crazy. This is the honeymoon right here.
Yeah, the man cave.
Yeah, this is the honeymoon.
We got the boat here. We got a boat.
Yeah, there you go.
Jacuzzi right next to it.
See, baby. Jacuzzi.
Got a nightclub, hot tub, and a stripper pole.
Yeah.
And you tell her, like, see, baby, I'm taking you places, baby. Look at that. I'm taking you places. Remember the days when guys used to mack the ladies? They, look, baby, you get with me, and I'll show you the world, baby. And we'll
I thought you still did that.
Well, she, nah, I don't, you know, do that. She's one of the unfortunate casualties of the Cactus Moon. Yeah, watch it.
So you're going to be washing my drawers, and you're going to be going to the restroom after
me.
That
was pretty unfortunate with the Cactus Moon.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Boy, another
you know,
one.
That's another one. Another one bites dust, right? And we talked about this a few episodes ago when the Wildcat House went down.
And it was
leveled
and sharks.
Sharks, level, yeah.
You know, and you know, I was a manager at the Cactus Moon for a long time, and you know, these clubs, and I'm scared about Zen Rock in this aspect, is that when you start discounting your stuff so much, is it really worth it in the end run? Because what happened with the Cactus Moon, they just could not pay the bill. It doesn't matter how many people you put in.
Mm-hmm.
If you put in 1,000 people in and you're paying 25-cent drinks and insurance cost and rent and staffing, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And clubs are just outpricing themselves just to compete, to stay in competition.
And
it's going
to
kill them.
Yeah.
And then when you add in radio and advertising, mm-hmm. I mean, the Cactus Moon, we paid $1,000 to have KRQ there, plus $200 talent. I don't know what Zen's playing, but I just hope that they just don't, like, given too much about that price war. You know, once you got them, just, you know, and it's hard that once you give them a good price to come back down on it.
Yeah.
Because people will start complaining about it. But sometimes, you know, that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just Zen Rock. It's every club just trying to compete now.
Yeah.
By bringing their prices down
so
much.
Yeah, wasn't it
amazing
to see
the feeding frenzy?
The feeding frenzy, yeah.
Trust me, my phone blew up.
You know, that Monday or Tuesday.
I told you guys
Sunday. Well, you told us
Sunday.
Before, but, you know, but we kept it quiet. Yeah. We knew about it a little bit before. But once it became public knowledge, I mean,
it was literally
all over. And social media is you know, totally different.
Changed.
Because 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been, you know, not everyone would have known about it.
You would have had a couple weeks to know and
get
ready
for exactly.
A
now, everyone was
You would
on.
Have showed up there and be like, oh.
Yeah, right, exactly. You show up on Wednesday and nobody there.
And I'm sure we all got those phone calls from the owners of places.
Oh, yeah.
I got a bar I can make a dance floor. Let's do it. Yeah, right. Whatever.
We're going to cancel.
And by the way, I got a great bartender here, so if any clubs out there looking for one. I'll throw out a little plug for it. I got to get
right.
it to work.
That's
I can't afford
right. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we all got those calls.
So, Bigna, you also have had experience in managing bars and restaurants. And, I mean, what's your opinion?
No, do hit it right on the head. I mean, the problem that people don't see is that the bars discount stuff so much to get it busy. And then once they do get it busy, if they try to raise their drinks and their prices again, even just a little bit, people get pissed and they leave. So you can't really do it. So they get stuck, and then now they can't pay the bills. And that's the biggest problem is that, everybody wants to go out and everyone wants to drink cheap. But you know, people still got
to
pay their bills.
Yeah.
And that's where clubs get in trouble.
Yeah.
They do it, and you know, you see it busy, and you're thinking these guys are making money.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You
the
forget
public,
about the fact that what if they got a liquor problem and somebody got hurt or even killed after the bar one night, and they're dealing with a silent problem?
Then you
got
attorneys.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, attorneys, and
you know,
your insurance rates go up, and
there's tons of things behind the scenes that people don't realize.
It's incredible the amount, and you know, your AC cooler goes down, and it costs $6,000 to replace an AC cooler or something like that. You know, and then you're spending $4,000 to $6,000 in liquor costs a week. You know, and you're giving away drinks that it's 32 cents a drink calculated cost, and you're giving away for a quarter. You know what I mean? That means where's your profit margin? You know, and I just, you know, and I, you know, if I can consult anybody out there on it, because I do know the numbers that were there at the Cactus Moon, I do know that just because a bar is busy, that's a misconception of how well they're really doing.
Exactly.
And so when you see that cover charge at a bar, you see things like that. Maybe not complain so much about it, because the clubs really need that. They really do need that. And I think that, that people need to understand that this is not a cheap business to be in. And in the state of Arizona does not make it cheap for you either to be in this business. It costs a lot to operate a nightclub bar, especially with a sixth license like a Zen Rock or a Cactus.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's a great point, too, because
we can't sell food.
Yeah, the liquor laws changed. Yeah. Back in the day, about 10 years ago, you used to be able to get buy one keg, get a free keg from the beer companies as a promotion, and you can offer penny drinks or penny pitchers like they used to in the day.
Right.
Yeah. Now the liquor laws have changed. You can't even give shirts away like you used to be able to, and they can't even give you discounts or beer prices. Yeah. So
now,
all that changed.
Now I'm starting to see hybrids. We talked about this before. Restaurants where they just turn their night into a DJ spot.
Well, my opinion, that's going to be the new deal. The big clubs are going away.
Yeah.
It's so inexpensive to have a hybrid, basically.
But
you have a number 12 liquor license.
Yeah.
You can sell food until 1 o'clock if you want to.
Yeah.
Now, all that comes into play. Now you're making extra
And then it's
money.
The right size
exactly.
for management, too.
They can
Right,
there.
Right. Yeah, and they, right, you get 150 people, and it looks great.
And in that situation, you don't want to discount your drinks either, because you have a percentage. You have to hit a 60% food cost and do it in a way where you have to sell so much food.
That's
and if you're giving away quarter drinks or 50-cent drinks, you may go over that food cost and jeopardize your 12 license. It's a class 12
license.
Exactly.
Now, that I have both of you here, this is this is a good chance for people to get educated. What exactly are you talking about, the difference between a 6 and a 12?
Well, a 12 is a restaurant license. That means you're a restaurant and you can still sell all the alcohol. Mm-hmm. A 6 is just a bar license where you don't sell food, you're just selling.
And that's beer, wine.
Oh, yeah. So you have your sevens, you have your six, you have your 12. Like a seven would be like
packaged food.
Like beer, wine kind of license. You know, maybe there's some licenses too that are out there that you can, maybe like an Italian restaurant, you can bring in your own bottle of wine and you can take it. You know, a 12 is, you know, you have to sell a percentage of food above
60-40
split.
60-40 split
of food. And then a six license, which is the big one, you can do anything on.
Okay.
You know, you even sell packaged goods. So you can literally, if the Cactus Moon wanted to, or any of the places that have a six license, they could have sold you beer to go, or as long as it's still before 2 a.m.
Yeah.
But they could have sold, if the owner, it's not recommended for a nightclub, because they go out into the parking lot and they get drunk and they sit there all night and then they get in a wreck.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still responsible for you because they were the people that sold you. So it's not recommended, but they can't do it by law.
Yeah. Now, also, I was wondering, as far as, I think the clientele is, they kind of have somewhat of a head start because of the restaurant being a certain way. You will not see 50-cent pitchers at the playground or something like that because of how it's already established who they are, the type of spot, you know. So.
Right. It's always easier to start high and come down than it is to start low and
low,
go up.
And go up.
And it's a tough racket. And a lot of people get themselves in trouble when they realize, wow, I got 600, 800 people in the building. But, God, our numbers still aren't great. And our percentages are still kind of weird. You know, our alcohol liquor percentage, you know. And believe it or not, you know, I saw how many Facebook messages the next day of, I can't believe the Cactus Moon went out of business.
Yeah,
they're so busy
all the time.
They're so that. I'm like, you don't get the numbers game here.
It's like
the
seeing somebody drive an expensive car. You don't see the insurance,
the
gasoline, insurance,
the
maintenance.
The gasoline costs more. You know, they
see what's there and like, wow.
And it rocked them. And I knew it was going to rock them. And I've been saying this for 2 years. I said, the death is coming. You know, it may take a little while. And sure enough, I mean, the news media, I don't know if you saw it, but on KNG9, it's the Cactus Moon I paid rent in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a lot. And no matter how busy they are, they still couldn't make up ground, you know.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, also the thing was that they really had only one solid night. And,
really?
And you can't really survive.
You
got to have.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you got to have three solid nights. You know,
especially in a place that big, with that square footage, you know, that's a $40,000 nut you're spending in rent a month.
Exactly.
My most favorite thing from that whole experience was people telling me, "Oh man, I'm gonna miss it so much. I'm gonna miss it so much." I'm like, "Yeah, when's the last time you were there?" Oh, about 3 months ago. I'm like, you know, there you go, right there. And everybody, I gotta say, you know, maybe probably 6 out of 10 people had that same
probably
response.
Took it for granted.
And it's like, you know, you can't just let these places locally go, because that's what's gonna happen if you don't frequent them.
Yeah.
They're going to go
away.
Yeah,
I think most people just take it for granted. We think that it's going to always be there, you know, when the economic crash happened. I remember the French Quarter, the restaurant closing, and I'm like, that was my place. But then, just as you said, Mike, when was the last time you've been there?
It's been like a couple of months. Like El Coquete, the Puerto Rican restaurant. I love that place.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Okay, now they messed up because they moved.
They moved. Exactly.
They should have stayed in the cheap rent where they were. They tried to move across the mall.
Right.
That's my personal opinion. Right. But
it was a bigger place. And, you know, it sat
bigger
more people.
Better, baby.
And exactly. You know, honestly, we were there every 2 weeks. You know, my family, my wife's family from Puerto Rico. So it was a treat. You know, and to see it go was.
I knew there was something good about you.
Yeah, that's why they call him the better.
Now,
half.
I think that Cactus Moon did a smart thing in a sense. I mean, we all know that Toby Keith's Bar and Grill is coming, and they're going after Wednesday night. I know that already because mm-hmm. I know the owner. Mm-hmm. And I know that I think if the Cactus Moon's going to get any money on the dollar for the club, my, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think they sold to somebody else. And the reason why is because it's a Class 6 liquor license and they're within 100 yards of the church and school across the street, they can't move that liquor license. They can't sell it to anybody else. In other words, they can't move that license and another nightclub go back into that place. So would have to sell the license with the property.
With the building. Yeah. Yeah.
With the building, they can't move it. So they can only transfer the license. So and my theory is that if they move I guess you could put a 12 license in there, like an Olive Garden license, uh-huh. and put maybe Buffalo Wild Wings or something in there.
Yeah.
But I believe that somebody bought the building
with the license,
with the 6, and is going to turn it into another nightclub.
So I've also heard that.
See, once Toby Keith's, not to interrupt you for a second, but when Toby Keith's open, you got to figure when they open in October, then you got to think that the Cactus Moon might have went down no matter what once Toby's open.
Right.
So now they could get more money on the dollar for the property than they would when their numbers really sink in October.
Exactly,
You know what I'm saying? So that could be some of it. Now, I'm just speculating from my knowledge of the building and the cost and what Toby's is planning to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the only thing I could think of. So, you know, and it just stinks because they had such great employees there, including my wife and, you know, my friends work there. I've been lucky to place a couple of those people, you know, at different places, but it's never going to be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
you know, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know if I'm in the right understanding, but I hear that the city no longer has any new liquor licenses.
Oh, no, they're gone.
So you got to get them from someone else.
You got to transfer it.
Yep. Yeah. That means the price must have gone astronomical.
They're huge. They're
Pima County liquor license are astronomical right now.
Yeah. They're ranging from $75,000 to $175,000 a piece
they're
right
ridiculous
now.
So. Wow. Right now. For a Class 6.
For a Class 6, which is, you know.
Which is
and that's another good thing about the restaurant ones where we talk about the hybrids, because restaurant ones, $3,000.
Yeah. Wow. So they're like,
you got a 60-40, like you said, that food.
Again, but the best thing about a restaurant hybrid club is that you have food to pay the bills and your nightclub can be all the icing on the cake.
Yeah, exactly.
Still have a 12 license. Believe it or not. Well, actually, my best friend Larry still has a 12 license, and we were in business together when we owned 5150. I don't know if people remember that place.
Of course.
But we still have that license.
I kind of remember something.
It's like gold there.
I mean, did you work there for me?
Yeah, sure did.
Actually, Mike actually got me in there for a couple of nights. Yeah.
Yeah. We still have that license. Yeah. We still have it.
I remember that place.
Yeah, I still have a couple of mine, too.
That's crazy. Crazy.
I know. You know, it just made me think about
it. So if anybody wants to buy a 12 license, I'm advertising today.
It's on the market.
Yeah, man. So, and then, you know, you wonder what the mind state of the DJs that see these clubs closing and how are they adjusting to it or, you know, how they're kind of, you know, I never got a chance to talk to many of them.
They're oblivious to it. I think they're so fixed on, I just want to make people dance. I know my music. I want it, but they don't understand the economics around it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of, especially, I think we understand that being around the game for a little bit. And I think that some of the older DJs know that because we've seen places come and go and we've seen why it's
way
come
too
and
many.
Go.
Way too many.
And it's some historical great places.
Yeah, there's places that I played in this town that the building is no longer there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? I'm not telling all these DJs to go out there and play for free either in these clubs because that's actually backfiring too right now. And that's a whole other conversation about these DJs saying, you don't need to have George play there tonight because I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
And these clubs, they're like, okay, cool. Well, you know? And then the second they want to charge a club for that, you know, the club owner is going to go back and be like, I'll just give some other kid to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
You're out.
And, you know, with the closings, I mean, that's somewhat of a canary in the mine. They should really, you know, pay attention to that and kind of factor that in if they're fortunate to have a regular weekly spot or so. And,
right.
You know, like, and but it's like that fine line. You don't want them to be underpaid, but the club owners, they don't want to be overpaying either, too. So
but you should
it's,
never.
It's business.
I always
know?
Felt, and I know when I was a manager at clubs, I would never slack on entertainment. That's
yeah.
one thing that, you know, I don't ask a DJ to be a promoter. Matter of fact, you DJs that are out there and the club owner is telling you that you should be a promoter, tell them, hell no, I'm not a promoter. I have my own craft to work on. I have my own thing to do. I said, I will blast it out on Facebook. I'll say this, I'll say that. But
yeah.
if you want me going flying cars and doing all this other stuff, hire some company for that. Hire somebody else to do it. Advertise on the radio. I have my own craft to work on. Because
yeah.
I don't believe that a DJ is a promoter. I think they're two different professions.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kills me that these guys, like, the first question that some club owner will ask you, like, how many people are you going to bring in tonight?
Yeah.
I don't
exactly.
care who you are
yeah.
and play. I know Dibs, right? Dibs is a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
He plays over at O'Malley sometimes, great crowd or whatever. But then you can move him to another club, and will he have that crowd that he has O'Malley's? No, people go to spots.
Yeah.
They don't go to see DJs, I noticed, as
you're
much
right,
in this
yeah.
town as they used to.
Yeah.
It used to be kind of
you know
it
you're
was
so right.
different. It was different.
You know what?
Different.
You know what you're, that's an incredible point. That's one thing I just now realized, but that's right.
Hey,
you
listen,
know,
I'm playing the casino on the weekends, and I'm playing all Mexican music,
yeah.
believe it or not.
I'm
talking
yeah.
about versatility. And nobody comes to see me
people
down there.
Will follow
people
the DJs,
that don't know
DJ
me.
So-and-so, and wherever you're at, that's where they'll be. Now it's just the spot. It's the
and
place.
And now it's
yeah.
the spot. People go where they know people are going to be at.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
What's your opinion, Big Nut?
It's right on the money. I mean, we're at all the same school right now. We kind of all grew up the same and mm-hmm. did the same thing. I mean, it's right. Back in the day, you could say Big Net was here and or Hurricane was here or Dew was here.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter, you could put them in a little tiny room and it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's not like that. We don't have that kind of luxury.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know what it is or what's changed.
Well, there's 400
I mean,
DJs.
I was going to say, I think maybe the market's a little flooded.
Yeah. yeah.
But that's good, too. That means people are enjoying our career. And I want people to love what we do.
Yeah.
But don't think that, you know, just because you hire some DJ that a lot of people are going to show up to your club. And that's not necessarily the case. You, as a DJ, are there to do two things. You're there to keep people in the club when they get there. To not make a menace of the night, I should say three things, and to sell alcohol. That's
yeah.
it. You're not there to make people dance. You're not there to do anything. The club owner could care less. He will never go up to you and say, you had a lot of people on the dance floor tonight. They'll never say that.
Yeah.
What they'll say
or,
is
or
that.
Or he will with a complaining tone.
With a complaining
tone.
Yeah, with a complaining tone.
He
wants to know how that. Much alcohol they sold.
I've had that before. I've had the guy right behind you, Big Nut.
Yeah. yeah.
Excuse me, can you get these people off the dance floor?
The bartenders are standing around over there.
You know, George.
And I'm sitting there.
When me and George first went over that, and we've talked about this on the last show, is you know, I was like, he's like, yeah, but my floor is packed. I'm like, yeah, bro, but you don't get paid by the dancing of the square.
Yeah,
inch.
Right.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
dance
it all comes down to
the
alcohol
bar.
Sales.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to keep you employed. The more that bar does at the bar, the more money you're going to make,
exactly.
the more money the
yeah.
bar is going to make,
yeah.
and the longer your career will be at that bar.
Which is a good shout out to the DJs on Facebook that actually put in the drink specials, which is
very
smart,
important.
You know,
yeah.
very smart.
Yeah.
Very important, you know, and it's people get caught up into, I got them all dancing and rocking. And people have this theory that a customer will come. How many of you guys heard this? You know, if you pack the dance floor, you know, the more we dance, the more we drink. You know, the more, you know,
yeah.
the more we sweat, the more we drink. That is a false misconception, and that has been disproved, I don't know how many times, by DJ Mag, DJ Times.
Uh-huh.
There's been studies on this. And
yeah.
It's not true at all. It is false information, and these people are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'll be the first to say it. I didn't say it.
All the emails to DJ Dude.
Listen, all hate mail. I'll take care of DJ Dude.
And then what we're just previously discussing about.
That was George Gonzalez, by the way.
What we're previously discussing about the hybrids, the restaurant, you know, DJ spots, is that a lot of them are lounge.
Right.
And you're just sitting and consuming
alcohol
and food versus, you know, on the dance floor shaking your ass for this woman you're trying to take home. You know, for like 4 hours or so.
Always the Mac.
Unless
kind
DJ
of guy
playing
right.
and I'm dancing on the dance floor.
Doing the hustle. Like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah, right.
I go in there with the...
You know, I love that about him, though, because he don't care.
The
place will be packed. Nobody on the dance floor. And this guy will get on the dance floor by himself, shake it. I mean, I've even seen him. Girls will come up and say, can we dance with you? He's like, no, I'm dancing. You guys don't care.
I have the shirt unbuttoned down to the navel. I have an Italian French horn. little tight pants. I do the one where they you'll stuff the socks in the little tight little polyester pants and bell bottoms. Yeah, that's how
you touched on the subject about, you know, the DJs not being a promoter. Mike, when you were running bars and nightclubs, you know, did you have that same mentality?
Yeah, that's a winning mentality. That's just a good secret and a good practice. It's like, you can't make DJs promote. That's not what they do. You know, and dude's got it right on the hit or right on the head. DJs play. They're creative. Mm-hmm. You can't make a creative person do business.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. So,
but you guys have found a way to balance that wire.
Well, once they're in there, they enjoy the show because we created something during the show, and they'll come back. You want repeat business. That's the key to success for a bar is that you want repeat business. Get them in there. But I feel that managers that sit around all day and they pay promoters, you know, to do this or that. I mean, I know when I never had a promoter in my life. I did all the promotions, the marketing, the advertising myself because I didn't
as
grow
manager,
up in a day
right?
as a manager because I spent literally I got there in the, you know, 12 noon. 11 o'clock in the morning, and I spend all day working on how I'm going to fill that club that night. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did as a manager. And maybe I'm spoiled now, and I expect all the managers I work for to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I have other things to worry about. I have other guys. I did music research. I do this. I, you know,
yeah.
I want to get the hottest stuff. I want to, you know, and don't get me wrong. I blast my stuff out on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that.
You ever notice that, like, real quickly, just to throw in, like, when we do other parties, it's always like that they already have their clientele who they want, who they're going to have invited to the parties. And then they get us to come in. They want us to focus on what we're doing. But it always seems the opposite when you do the clubs where, you know, oh, you bring the people here. You bring them all here. It's like, no, get your clientele, get it all together, and I'll just, you know, cater to what you want. So I always find that funny.
Interesting.
There. Yeah, you never see a wedding like, okay, I'm going to bring all the people here. I'm going to get your guests. And I'm going to play this, and then you're going to dance to this song, you know. And, you know, they kind of set up their own theme, and then you just kind of go along with it and just focus on what you have to do, you know, as far as the music there.
I think that we rely too much on promoters now. And I work great with promoters. I have a lot of friends that are promoters and stuff like that. But, I mean this, that I think that the promoter...
Basically, he's saying he hates them.
No. Let me backtrack just a little bit. What I'm saying is...
And his wife rolls her eyes.
No, what I'm saying is that the DJ profession and the promoting profession are separate issues. Okay.
Yeah.
The promoters are good at marketing and doing what they do.
I know. I'm just
the DJs
shit,
are creators. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We create and we hold the clientele, and we hopefully will cause repeat clientele. When the promoter brings somebody in there into the club, the promoter is looking to us to make sure that they keep coming back to make their job easier.
You could be an incredible DJ, but a half-assed promoter, and then you have only a few people in,
right?
And then the DJ suck. It's like I just wasn't good at promoting. I'm all right as a DJ.
Stink at promoting, but that's what those guys do. So when I say we rely on promoters too much, I'm saying that the DJs and promoters are two different professions.
Yeah.
Two different professions. And they're good what they do, and we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can both hit on all cylinders, it'll be a happy marriage.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying.
There you go there. What are you doing there, George? You surfing porn on your phone?
Yep.
He's texting me right
now. Oh, baby.
He's texting me. By the way, did I say that we're all sitting here naked? So.
Yeah. Real quickly, let me go ahead and give an ID out to everybody.
That
make sure you guys hit us up at BehindTheCrossfader@yahoo.com. Make sure you check us out on Facebook.com/BehindTheCrossfader. And our main mother page at BehindTheCrossfader.podomatic.com. Everybody, we had a little hiatus for a couple of weeks, but we're back.
Yeah.
And make sure if you have a friend, turn them on to the show. Turn him or her, parents, kinfolks, mom, dad, uncle, whoever, you know, just turn them on to the show. I guarantee they'll like it. And also, if anybody feel they can contribute anything, make sure you hit us up also. And, you know, we're down.
Yeah, why don't you guys tell everybody, you know, your new gigs. I mean, I'm sure a lot of new stuff has come along since the last time we've interviewed the both of you. So why don't we start with you, Do? Why don't you give us a little insight into the world that's DJ Do?
Oh, man. Well, not... I already feel like I put my foot in my mouth about 80 times in this interview, so...
Well, you're going to be working at Target anyway.
I will always bring up the subject that no one else wants to talk about.
Yeah, you'll be at Target anyway. So
I'm growing pop plants at Target.
A little boy calling your name there.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter. You know. But I have been blessed in the last so many weeks. And
exactly.
Not,
you have her blessing sitting right in front of you.
I do. I got married.
Kiss your ass now, huh?
Smooth, this guy.
I will say one thing to every DJ out there right now. That there's going to be one day and one performance that's going to change your life. So make sure that every time you show up to that club, no matter how small or how big the venue, you perform at 110%.
That's great
advice.
Because
you never know
exactly, yep.
who's going to be sitting there and watching you. And I was fortunate to have the right person sitting there and watching me for one gig. And I'm blessed about what's about to happen in my life, in mm-hmm. my wife's life, in my family's life, or whatever. And I'm heading off to Nashville, and I'm leaving in a week or two. And I just, a lot of fantastic things are happening without me saying too much about it. But I think that I kind of made my mark into that country rock kind of, you know, kind of that vibe outside of Tucson. Like I said, I'm more respected outside of Tucson than I am in my own hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so looking forward to what's happening. But besides that, you know, I play at the right now I'm doing kind of like a Latin night, believe it or not, at the casino, Desert Diamond. And then I'm doing a Quarry, which is kind of a country night. Play a little bit of Top 40 there, too.
And that's where?
The Quarry is essentially in Bedrocks. It's kind of it was a club that was, I shouldn't say, it was just it's a little goofy bar, you know, but, you know, I worked there, Pork Chop from Kim FM.
Yeah.
I got him there, Cooper Mesa Band, good country band. They played there. I kind of just play in between the sets, cool vibe or whatever, and just kind of holding that down. I gave my Cervezas gig to Blade while I do my contract at the casino for 2 months. So I'm over at the casino for 2 months, and then me and Blade will probably flop at the end of the 2 months, and he'll go to the casino, and then I'll go back to Cervezas, depending on what happens after Nashville.
Yeah.
I know George wanted to pry me for a little bit more information, but I just feel that I don't want to jinx myself. And it looks like I'll be back at the MGM Grand, Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
In December, I think December 5th through the 18th, I believe. And that's the dates that they're looking at right now during the NFR. So, and by the way, if you ever get a chance to go to the NFRs in Las Vegas, which is the National Finals Rodeo, it is an unbelievable time. I mean,
really?
The rooms are cheaper. The clubs are cheaper to get in because nobody goes to Vegas during Christmas time but drunken cowboys. And
sounds
Oriental
like my
people,
kind of crowd. Sounds like my kind of
they
crowd.
They love them
there.
Some rodeo, huh?
Well, no, they just don't celebrate Christmas like we celebrate just Christmas. Kidding, so just you know, and it's a good time. So you know, I was spinning at Studio 54. Exactly.
I'm go there.
I was spinning at Studio 54 there, but they closed Studio 54 and they're
renovations. Though, right?
Yeah, they're making the largest nightclub in the world there. It's supposed to make Marquee look like Amateur Hour, supposedly, but I don't know how that can be done.
That's a tall order.
That's a tall order, and
yes,
I don't know what they're saying,
sure.
But it's supposed to be four levels and blah, blah, blah. But they are going to be doing something for the NFRs in December.
So basically, you're saying in the next few months, you're going to be taking over the world.
Pretty much.
No. Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah.
I'm going to be a little dictator.
but stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I like that one.
Behind the crossfader. I'll give you guys the first scoop. I'm behind the crossfader, episode number 24.
Sounds good.
Okay. Maybe I'll come back.
Sounds
and
good.
It's going to be a little dictator. Sounds good. Going to have a little child army there.
I know you
sweatshop.
Got a couple of new gigs.
I don't even want to follow Dude. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, maybe I should ask you that.
You already followed me. You're behind me over here.
Don't talk behind his back there, Mike.
Oh, man. Well, yeah.
The fart, by the way. Can I say that in the mic?
Right, yeah, get it right there. Put the
please
mic to
don't.
It.
No, just I'm at Diablo's right now on Thursdays and doing a happy hour Friday thing.
Yeah, I hear you're wearing a bikini over there
I'm
on Thursdays.
It, baby.
Yeah.
It is bikini.
Yeah. But Fridays, I'm trying to create a little happy hour dance party, actually, where people can actually dance early. So, you know, trying to get that move happen. I did in California for a long time and just trying to get it rocking here. So, you know, people that have to go to bed and have kids and have a job can party, but go home by 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and still get that sleep and do that thing. So,
perfect.
Working on that, trying to get that rocking. And then, you know, it's really cool that I got asked to go back to IBT's again, where I was at for a very long time. And
close
really
to eight
cool.
years, right?
Yeah. Well, wow. On and off 12, but okay. 8 years okay. solid. But it's really cool to be back there. And like the other last week, I kind of had a really cool, humbling moment where I sat back and just really sat there and said, wow, this is really cool to be back here again in
my
house.
It's a really fun place. I had the pleasure of being there almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is a fun place to play. So that's great.
It feels good. It felt good. Yeah. So it relighted my fire. So maybe I'll retire in another 5 years.
They play the absolute best music there. I feel
they let you
guys get away with anything. And I tell everybody, I said, don't get turned off by IBTs, man. That place is...
That's my favorite place in town to play.
I've always wanted to play. They never went in.
Yeah. I'll bring you down. We'll come in. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
Yeah, you should open it up to guest spots. That would be great.
Yeah, but we should do that. But it's really cool.
Place.
It's awesome, man. I mean, that was the first place I got to show George that you can create a night out of nothing.
Yeah.
Which basically I took that party on the patio.
Yeah, that patio. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a nothing thing, and people would just go out there and smoke and whatever.
Yeah.
And I turned that into a, like, 400 spot.
Still
going. Wow.
It's still rocking. Going.
That's amazing.
So out of nowhere. But if you create something, people will go.
Yeah.
And you got to create that vibe and make it happen.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people want that instant gratification. They want, you know, first week, they want it to be
exactly,
you know,
there.
Crazy.
And they never want to play the slow clubs. They just want to walk into the business.
Yeah.
You know, and
you got to put some work in.
Herm's,
you know?
La Casina was a perfect example of that.
Right?
You know, he did that from the ground up, you know, and it's really, really successful.
Yeah, Herm
there.
Did a really great thing over there at La Cocina. And another shameless plug, Terry and I will be playing there this Saturday, so it should be a lot of fun.
Message.
What about you? What about you, Hurricane? Where are you at right now?
Right now I got my RPM going on. Feel the Heat Fridays. It's so much fun, man. I'm really having a blast over there right now. Yeah, it's going good. You know, something that we started from zero. You know, like you said, you gotta put that time in. Then, you know, my guest spots right now, I'm really loving. I'm gonna be back at O'Malley's in a few weeks with Dibs. You know, La Cocina with Herm, and you know, I found that after I left my residency, that these guest spots were so much more fun. Like,
yeah,
I mean. You really,
I'm not into the residency thing anymore, man. You know,
I mean,
imagine,
you know,
being a resident of the Cactus Moon and then that club closes
and
you're out of work.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Except when you play different places all the time. You know, you lose one club, you pick up another. You lose one, you know.
Yeah. It's a lot fun, you know, being a guest DJ, but it also increased my respect for the people that do have the residency. So,
residency is not easy.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
been my
week after week, and especially if it's 3 or 4 days a week, you know, you got to find a way to sound different every night.
Yeah,
every
and
week.
I've been really.
It's called Don Julio.
There you go.
Yeah, for about two years, I was at IBT's 6 nights straight.
Yeah, and you know, every time people ask me to play, I've always been real sensitive to, you know, being a guest. I mean, I take it literally, you know, like a guest in their place. And, you know, this is something they work from the ground up. They have a certain crowd and vibe. And, you know, I just do not want to mess it up. So, and me and George spoke about this before where, you know, we'll guest spot at a certain person's place and we'll get like an hour and a half. And every DJ, what do we want to do? It's like, oh, for an hour and a half, we want to tear it up. Oh, man, we're going to get down. And it's easy to squeeze, you know, contain talent in about an hour and a half versus doing like weeklies or so, and you know, 5 hour, 6 hour nights or so. So, you know, I have that respect for these people that have those nightlies, and you know, and I always take instructions from them. It's like, how do you want me? Where do you want me to keep the vibe? What level? You know,
right.
How do you want me to end it off or so? You know, so.
I got to go hear you spin. I've never heard you spin.
Yeah, you really do got to hear him spin.
I've heard these jokers.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
For
so
years,
I'm starting
now,
to get
right?
out there little by little. I just got to really practice my chops or so. Because I don't do it that much, I kind of slack off on the practice of it. And most of my, you know, my DJ so-called practice is like all cerebral, writing songs down, editing. But I'm starting to now really... You know, fine tune things, get used to the different equipment. George was, you know, he taught me that about really learn your mixers and equipment. So when you jump on other people's set, you can kind of, you know, play along with it well. So
it also helps that I've been selling those things for
exactly. Yeah.
I think I've owned every piece of gear.
I think you have. I think you really have.
Yes.
I've never seen anybody go through more gears.
Yeah,
than
he knows his.
It drives my wife crazy. He's like, what's that?
Yeah, and every time I always said this before, like every time he talks about mixers, I don't know if he's talking about the turntable.
Actually, he did buy a pair of my turntables.
I have a pair of Deuce tables.
That's right.
Do they still work?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that man knows the mixers.
I find that I'm practicing more often now
Yeah, same
than,
here, yeah.
than I was before.
I'm going to tell you what, DJ.
Well, because when you're playing 4 and 5 nights a week, you don't even
you
think
can't
about
practice.
And that in itself is somewhat of a practice, too, you know, when you're actually playing. And right. since people are starting to ask me to play a little bit more, I'm starting to practice more.
Honestly,
as a matter of fact,
all these new kids coming up made me want to practice.
Oh, yeah. They keep your skills up.
Watching Dibs, watching Monk, watching all these guys.
Fantastic.
You know, it's just really cool to see how they really love the game so much. And that's made me want to get in there and really practice.
Yeah, you remember what it was like, you know, 10 or 12, 15 years ago, practicing 3 hours a day, you know.
Yeah.
Now, though, they've really rejuvenated me in that sense, and it's really cool because it's going to take me to a whole other level that I probably have never even scratched before. And I'm really, like, lately, this last week, I did a set in my office, and I was just blown away by myself. And I'm just, I mean, not to say that braggingly, but I was
already did. That's too late for that.
But I was sitting there going, man, I mean, I'm using some of the tricks that I've seen the kids use, and I'm like, all right, I can see where this, you know, is going to happen.
Right,
so
right.
It's just opening my eyes and making me say that, feel that there's so much more I haven't even tapped into yet. It's kind of scary, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's with us DJs. When we do our gig, we do a good job and it works, then we're like, cool, we get in that comfort zone. And we just sit there because it's already working. We don't have to do much or so. But, you know, when we had Grapple on, you know, and we were talking about scratching and mixing, and I was telling George and him how... left-handed wise, I'm just real weak, and I got better with that just because of them. They said just start doing everything with your left. And
yeah, that was something I learned a long time ago.
Yeah, just that anything that you normally would do with your right, do with your left.
The slow hand.
Yeah, the slow hand. Yeah, right.
And then
you know what's so funny? I don't practice at all.
Yeah.
I don't have time. Don't get me wrong. I spend 12 hours a day working on my DJ career, but actually physically in front of turntables or in front of CDJs, whatever, actually sitting, practicing, scratching and stuff, I don't. I wish I did more, actually. I just feel like there's so much now that I'm getting as thrown at me right now as far as, like, business side of it. Like, that it really, like, I see, like, a lot of these artists that used to be happier when they used to play little, you know, say, like, a Kenny Chesney when he used to sit in a little bar and play with a guitar and,
or something,
you know, and used to drink for a drink tab or whatever. But then when you start moving into this bigger level that you don't have time to focus on, and you almost miss that days of playing in the little, you know, and so it just... I wish I could. I need to practice more. Trust me.
But
especially after watching you guys, I'm like, need to get back into this.
But then
practice.
Again, also, I bet you know when you do normally play, I always look at DJing as some form of practice in a sense. I mean, you're not, you don't call it that to the people dancing to your beats, but you're learning from it. You know?
And especially like us, where we gig kind of often, you know, you're almost practicing alone. You know, I always figured that the first 2 hours of the night is usually practice anyhow.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. There you go. And if you guys ever.
We call it pre-show.
Exactly.
Pre-show.
Yeah, and if you're ever doing a gig or so, and it's like a small crowd there, and the night's dead, hell, make that your practice night. Just really
have
fun. Yeah, go at it.
Well, before we finish up, why don't you guys tell us where we can get you online, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing.
You got me on Facebook. That's the easiest way for me. So it's it's Michael DJ Big Nut Lopez. On that Facebook site.
Are you going to pull out the sheet?
Yeah.
I know, dude. It's like the Magna Carta.
Listen, they make me do it, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I have a Twitter. It's DJ Do Tucson. I can't figure out how to get rid of the Tucson thing, but I figured I'll leave it in there, you know, just to go back to my hometown. But, because some people, like, forget about the Tucson part, so they try to look me up and they can't
find me. The cougar between the John and Mellencamp. It's
in there. Exactly, cougar.
You can't get rid of it there.
Can't get rid of it. So, DJ Do Tucson on Tucson.
That's a great reference.
And his wife's
it's not sexual either. Hey. Unless you're talking about cougars. Like,
Jack and I am. And then you... She does know music. More
she
music
does.
Than I do.
Awesome.
I have to say that.
And she could dance like there's no tomorrow.
She'll break out Motown on you like you won't believe.
Really?
Forget about it. But and then on Facebook, I have... if you just look up DJ Do D-U, you'll find me somewhere. My actual name spelling is D-U-H-A-M-E-L. But I think if you just type in DJ Do, it pops up. Like I'm the only one that pops up at the top. And then SoundCloud... DJ Do. I'm doing a lot of remixes for country artists now that want kind
of
dance versions of songs.
That's awesome, man.
Dance version, kind of more hip hop country thing. I call it hip hop.
Yeah, you hip-hop. Need to trademark that right now.
Hip
hop.
Before I do it.
I think it's trademarked already by my good buddy Cowboy Troy from Big and Rich, actually. Used that
you better
before.
Do something.
Seriously. I was thinking about that
hip-hop.
The other day. Yeah, that's really good.
And then SoundCloud is just DJ Do, one word. So DJ Do, one word. And then. I probably have someone. Oh, yeah. On the web, it's www.djdu.net.
Yeah, when we post up the episode, just comment on our post, and you can just put all the links there.
Right. Well, it was a pleasure to have you both back. You know, in this room, we're talking maybe 175 years of DJ experience.
It takes us back to the time of Jesus.
Oh, man.
Moses was dancing fool.
Way back in the days when that dog first put his ear to the phonograph and started listening back in those days.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough for being here with us for episode number 20. Yeah. You know, I really did not expect it to go, you know, to go this far, or, you know, to have as much influence that it's had in this community, and I'm really happy.
Yeah. Oh, I got one more word for you before you go. Just remember.
Yeah.
Radio 520. Just keep those words in your mind.
Radio 520.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well,
yeah.
As we come to another close, thanks again to A-List 520, to Dave here at the Man Cave, and to all of you guys out there who supported us through all 20 episodes of Behind the Crossfader. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks again to everybody. It's going to start really getting fun now. We will have new guests come up, but you're going to also have a lot of reoccurring guests, and that's when it's going to be a lot of freestyle with, you know, the way we did today. It's going to be more fun. It's going to be really, I mean, just as fun. And if you love the past shows, you're definitely going to love the shows coming up there. And I will not make any more sexual analogies there. So,
are you kidding me? That's part of the show now.
Yeah,
man.
There you go.
So, yeah, you're going to have to come up with some good ones here.
Yeah, I'll think of some. I'll write them down on my hand. Oh, I can't do it. No, it's fine. So anyway, I'm Terry, DJ Fatso Haymore.
I'm George Gonzalez, Arizona's DJ Hurricane.
With DJ Do and DJ Mike.
Big Nizzy.
Big Nizzy. Low pass.
I love that.
We're all behind the crossfader, so rather in life, love, and music, always stay in the groove. Peace.
Peace.